You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
Well, good morning. Welcome to another Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon, along with Ed Van Ness, sitting at the controls and basically telling me what to do. What an absolute tragic week this has been. I hate to be on such a downer here, folks, but oh, good Lord. And then on top of everything else, Tom Petty dies. You know, unless you've been in a cave, you've heard all the story. I mean, you've heard probably, like I have been listening to news and watching news just about 24/7. Here, of course, the shooter, Stephen Paddock, 64-year-old guy from Mesquite, Nevada. I heard him slip a couple of times during the week and said he was from Mesquite, Texas. But he's from Mesquite, Nevada. Had a Filipina girlfriend named Marilou Danley. And they're still trying to figure out that connection and figuring out just how much she knew about this thing. 58 people killed. Hey, just let that set in. I'm sure you have, but just let that set in. 58 people killed. They originally were saying 59, which I found kind of strange, but it's 58 people, just under 500 people injured. They still haven't been able to sort out how many of those were wounded by gunshot and how many of those were hurt in other ways, like getting trampled on or fractures from trying to basically jump over restraining walls and stuff like that. And, my goodness, you have very few events that actually keep you glued to the media, whether it's social media, whether it's TV, radio, whatever, but you just, God, how did this happen? How did this happen? You know, of course, probably one of the first things I saw when we were when this was first coming across was a tweet from a guy, I don't even know, I think he's actually from the Las Vegas area. His name is Wayne Root, and he was proudly proclaiming, this is the real thing, clearly coordinated Muslim terror attack. Let that sink in for a minute. This guy, when there were still shots coming out of the Mandalay Bay, and he's already professing it to be a Muslim terrorist attack. And then you know what the worst part about that was? You know, I called him out on it, and I also pointed him to Twitter, you know, pointed him in the direction of Twitter. I tagged Twitter on the along the way on that. And Twitter deleted my tweet. And I wasn't in the hell. That was, if they deleted my tweet, I've made a lot more vulgar, a lot more bombastic tweets than that. And they pulled that one. I could not believe it.
You're a rabble rouser from way back.
I just, That just, But anyway, yeah, so we're already starting to, you know, blame the Muslims and what have you. No,
sure.
This was an old white guy. And let that sit in.
Hey,
and also,
I'm an old white guy.
I'm an old white guy.
It's this is one of those situations where you wish the guy survived just so we can answer that why question. Why?
And then kill him.
Or I feel in these circumstances, you do life in prison, but every day a victim or a member of the victim's family gets to come in and kick you in the nuts.
Well, I doubt that that's hardly any of much of a target these days.
That could be.
Tell you the truth.
That could be, but
So there has been a ton of speculation, including myself. I even went off the deep end with a little speculation. Was wondering, well, how he came into so much disposable money that he can gamble $1 million a year. Yeah, I was speculating, well, Jesus, did he just fall into this money? Maybe he had somebody paying him. I don't know.
ISIS has a good starting entry salary.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
but we found out since then he was a successful accountant. He was into real estate. So he definitely had his means to make money. So I'm gonna abandon that, you know.
What was the final count on the weapons?
No, they found. I believe it was they found. Oh, I even had it written down here someplace. God damn it!
I thought I heard a number in the 40s, but I thought that was wrong.
They found at the hotel room itself.
Right, that's what I meant.
23.
Wow.
23, and I believe 12 of those were still loaded, ready to go, had that bump stock accessory to them so he could fire his automatic weapon fire his semi-automatic weapon as a fully automatic.
Because, you know, the average sportsman hunter needs that kind of weaponry because, you know, deers are, you know, you can't trust a deer. You might have to put 700-800 rounds in them to put them down.
Well, exactly.
You know, so, you know, it's not like the NRA is behind this or, you know, they're throwing money or Wayne LaPierre, who should rot in hell and probably will. I think there is a special place in hell. Now, before anybody gets off, I'm not opposed to people, responsible, licensed, trained people having firearms. If you're a hunter and you know what you're doing, fine. Obviously, law enforcement, military, that's one thing. But the average Joe bopping down the street, not only do I not believe needs a weapon, but certainly doesn't need an automatic weapon or even semi-automatic. I mean, what are you gearing up for the revolution? Or, you know, believe me, the shores are not going to be invaded. And you with your one, you know, you're not going to save the world with your firearm. I promise you that. And, I mean, more people just get hurt with this stuff every year. And again, I go back to the NRA. They're just, you know, between them and the crooked politicians. Well, did you see a bunch of people started sending out tweets early in the week when the senators and the congressmen started sending out their thoughts and prayers? For everyone that sent a thoughts and prayers, there were 60-some-odd congressmen and representatives and senators who sent out thoughts and prayer tweets. And somebody made a list of how much the NRA had given them. The hypocrisy of it all. Most of them were just under $10,000. I guess to skirt that limit, they were all like $9,900. There must be some sort of cap. And including little Marco here in Florida, Marco Rubio, sent out his thoughts and prayers, but not above taking money from the NRA.
Exactly.
And being their bitch. So I hope everybody is thrilled.
And the thing about this is this bump stock accessory, fully legal in most states. He actually, and it's one of those things that now the IRA, oh my God, them too.
Oh, they'll be interested in it.
Yes, exactly. But the NRA, you don't
hear about them anymore.
Well, that's because they've decided to settle their differences over in that part of the world.
No, oh. Well,
we
do you
hope.
Know? What do you know?
We hope, exactly.
They've all joined forces to fight Uber over there, but that's later.
That's just, exactly. no, the bump, the NRA, is actually talking about not abolishing, but having restrictions put on the bump stock accessory. They'd actually be willing. They'd actually, God has spoken. The Republican God has spoken. And he says that you can go ahead and put restrictions. Don't try to ban it, but you can put restrictions on the bump stock.
I saw something that said the NRA was going to ban it from their shooting facilities. And, oh, by the way, there was a, I don't mean to sidestep, but there was a major break in medical news this week. A human male actually grew a spine.
Oh, which human male was that?
Paul Ryan.
Oh, I didn't hear this, dude.
Oh, he's all for, you know, he says, I'd be willing to look at, you know, banning these things and doing that and actually some real gun reform. So there you go, kids, in medical news this week. A human being regrew a fucking spine. Although I manage it will wither away again at some point.
Oh, of course, you know.
Return to its gelatinous state.
When the NRA finally says, well, you know, you like that money we send you every election cycle, or how often they send out their checks. You like that money. Would you not like not to have it now? And he'll piss off into the breeze again.
All right. So you lived in Vegas for quite a while.
I did. That's why this is hitting home with me, especially.
Right. So why don't you give us a little bit of a lay of the land? And remember, everybody, okay, this all happened after we went off the air last week. So,
okay.
Give us a little bit of the lay of the land with the Mandalay Bay and the concert venue and.
Okay, Mandalay Bay. When I had left Mandalay Bay, it was probably the furthest south of all the major resorts. As you're going south on Las Vegas Boulevard, it sits off on the right-hand side. Now, I understand they've built some properties a little further down now. But at the time, it was the furthest south. It was next to two other properties. It was next to, it was actually directly next to the Luxor. And then on the corner at Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard was the Excalibur. So they were all kind of in that same block. They were all owned. At one time, they were all owned by Circus Circus, and now MGM has bought them out, as I understand, or they did actually buy them out just before I left. You have the Tropicana, which is on the left side as you're going south, and in essence, where this venue was just basically across the street and in some property that I think at one point in time might have been the Tropicana's parking ramp. I think they probably tore that down and kind of made a little venue there. So, yeah, it was definitely on the south side of the strip, not all that far away from the famous Welcome to Las Vegas sign.
Now, is that the opposite side from where the airport is, or is the airport on the north end?
The airport is on the south end as well.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, during one of the things that came forth was while he was on his shooting rampage, Paddock actually shot, I don't know if it was on purpose or by accident, actually a couple of rounds went into a 43,000 gallon jet fuel tank.
Yikes.
That was located at the airport. But here's one thing that I'd heard before, but I'd forgotten.
It's not flammable.
It's not that, yeah.
Right. It's combustible. It's
very low-E, very I wouldn't say it's not combustible, but it's
takes a fair amount. Takes a fair amount to get it going. I'm sorry, I cut in there.
That's okay.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure about the layout, and I know the airport is right next to the strip. I mean, it's like right there.
There were people, actually, when they were trying to escape, because most of them were trying to escape to the east, going away from Mandalay Bay, but they were escaping to the east. They were running into Hooters Casino. They were running into, some of them actually were trying to get into the airport property itself to get away. That's how close that is.
Wow.
So, yeah, they actually had to divert flights away from McCarran Airport because of the active shooting situation. You know, that's how close that really is.
I can't even imagine the, you know, because you don't even know where it's coming from. And even if you know it's coming from above, I mean, good gravy, at night, in the dark at night, you couldn't see that window busted out. Now, obviously, when the sun came up and I was watching the Today Show, and lo and behold, the sun came up in Vegas, and there was that big old window busted out. And I will say this, it's very surprising that there was not some kind of alarm system, because you would think at some point somebody's going to get a little antsy partying, get a little, you know, worked up and bust one of those windows at some point. And just as a safety measure, you'd think there would be some kind of an alarm system or an alert, hey, we've got a broken out window, for, you know, just basic safety.
Or, goodness, God forbid, there might be somebody that had a horrible day in Vegas and just spent their fortune and now has nothing to live for.
Right, right. But just some kind of indication that one of these windows that, because people get stupid, you can't open these windows, and there's always the one jerk that's going to go, well, here, watch me open it, and throw a chair through it, you know. And you would think there'd be some kind of indicator. I imagine there will be now. I imagine something will be implemented at the very least in new construction, whether or not the current hotels will be subject to that. You know,
and I fully believe that, you know, because he used a sledgehammer to knock out these two windows. I have a feeling that it wasn't just one swing. I have a feeling you had to work on it to get that thing open.
Oh, I'm not saying that, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to smash open one of those windows, but a little perseverance and enough alcohol-fueled goofiness, and by God, you'll get that thing open if you choose to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, so now I also heard in this that the apparently he went down to Arizona and tried to buy tracer round. Are you familiar with tracer round?
I've heard the term. Explain it. Presume I am an idiot.
Think about back in the day when we first went in to start bombing Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting, the Iraqi army was shooting up, and you could see these red flare, looked like little red flares that's tracer round, and what that does is it actually helps you aim a little bit better. But the thing is he couldn't, I don't know if it was because they were illegal to buy in Arizona, or if they didn't have any. But one way or another, yeah, he tried to buy tracer round. This way he could actually see where this, it wouldn't have been quite such an indiscriminate, you know, line of fire, if you would have.
To help him aim better.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yes, exactly.
Wow.
Or what he could have used it for was to basically put at the bottom of the magazine, and that would, when the red would start coming out, then he'd know it's time to put that gun down and go pick up another one and start shooting.
Well, there you go. That's,
So, a lot of things with that. Of course, I haven't looked at the news tomorrow, tomorrow. I haven't looked at tomorrow's news. I haven't looked at the news yet.
Tomorrow's news today.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if there's any new developments. When I put it to bed for last night, I'd heard that they were talking that that Paddock had made a couple of took a few cruises over into Europe, and get this, into the Middle East.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if somebody's all of a sudden starting to trying to put together a conspiracy theory here a little bit about as worse, just about as bad as mine was earlier. But and of course you do have ISIS. You do have that picture, ISIS. You can almost hear them over in the background someplace jumping down, up and down, and saying, "Hey, I did it! I did it! I did it! I did it!" Shut the fuck up. I highly doubt it that ISIS was in any way involved with that. To tell you the truth, I do trust our investigators in this. We've got not only Clark County Metro Metropolitan Police, which, by the way, I had my share of run-ins with them because it's more on the traffic end. But they are, I'd have to say this, they are one of the best trained, best equipped police departments in the United States. And you got them investigating. You have the FBI. You have other federal and state agencies in on this investigating. So we're going to find out what happened here. It might, you know, Americans, we're kind of in the microwave society, and we want to know what happened yesterday. You know, this thing's going to take time, but we will find out what happened, you know. And I promise you one thing here. If it is true that ISIS was involved with this, our President Dumbshit, or President Moron, as he was referred to earlier.
Effing moron.
I guarantee you, he will quadruple the effort to blow ISIS off the map completely. You will have an Islamic State with two people in it.
Yeah, and you know where he's going to start the hunt for ISIS? Puerto Rico.
Where's that?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah, Puerto
Rico.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of whoop ass on that later. That was pathetic in its own right. So one of the things that I'd thought of is, what about the victims now? The victims, the families of the victims. This guy was supposedly a multi-millionaire. That son of a bitch is, you know, he's got family down. He got family down in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Does he? I really have been out of touch with the story. I mean, I know the basics. I know the basic framework, but I have not gotten into the details of it. So
I believe he has a brother down in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, right, in Orlando. I think Orlando or the environs. Yeah. Boy, see, you seem to have some interesting connections to this story, John. I'm not saying nothing, but you know. You lived in Orlando, you lived in Vegas. Next thing you know, the guy was originally from St. Paul. But hey, I'm not drawing any lines. What's the number for the FBI? Can somebody get them on the line?
That, my friends, was the late Ed Van Ness.
Thank you. Gil Christ told me to say that.
Oh,
Gil,
man.
Christ, Jesus' cooler brother. I promised I wasn't going to bring him up today, and I apologize to everybody involved. But
where's my whip? Oh, anyways,
not right now. Maybe later, Pookie.
But this guy was supposedly a multimillionaire. This family should not see one red cent of that estate. The victims' families, the victims who were fortunately just injured and not killed, they should be going after that estate en masse.
Well, think about the folks that were injured and how many of them are going to have lifetime issues.
Yes, life-changing issues.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, some of them are quote-unquote fortunate. They probably had through-and-through injuries. They'll heal and they have an interesting scar for the rest of their life. Other people probably had internal organs damaged, and their lives have been changed. It's just heartbreaking To think about that, because somebody had an issue. Look, you want to put a bullet in your own head, by all means, take them all. Put them all in your head. Swallow a bunch of bullets and then put one in your head, as far as I'm concerned. But to take it out on innocence. And again, I would even understand if this was something that he had a personal beef with. At least I could get a grasp on that. He hated the band. He had dealings with the band. They screwed him out of money. I wouldn't condone it, but at least it would make a little bit of sense. But to open fire, and you fucking coward, you did it at night, when you knew, you know, look, this didn't just happen. He didn't just go, oh, look at that, I lost at blackjack. I'm going to go up to my room with my 16 guns. I'm going to pleasure myself to each one of them. Then, I'm going to bust me out a window. And look at that. How convenient. Thousands of people standing in a penned-in area. Like
that reminded, when you said that, that reminded me. He apparently...
To go pleasure yourself?
Well, no.
Sorry.
He apparently, when he... This was not a like brand new fresh idea for him. He had reserved a room in Chicago. He never showed up for it, but he reserved a room in Chicago that was supposedly overlooking the Lollapalooza concert there. He had also got a room at a hotel condo named the Ogden. Now that's out of downtown Las Vegas. Apparently there was a big outdoor festival going on there, too.
Now, that one I heard about. I didn't hear about the one in Chicago, but the other one in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. Oh, and get this, too. Not only did he have all these guns, apparently he had in his car, which I was first wondering if he wasn't planning to shoot at the car and blow it up, because he had like 95 pounds of what they call... Oh, and I can't read my own writing here now. It was tannerite, I think it's called.
Tannerite, yes. Yes.
He had
that's the word. I don't know anything about it, but that's the word.
Yeah. He had altogether had 95 pounds worth of explosive material in his car.
Unbelievable.
And the police are thinking that he might have tried to somehow escape there and get into his car and cause more wreck more havoc. So, I was trying to look up the name of that security guard at Mandalay Bay. The first one that come upon Paddock while he was still shooting.
Right, he had those cameras outside.
Cameras rigged up. So, Paddock turned away from what he was shooting at. I guess riddled the door of the hotel with some 200 rounds. Thank God, only one round hit this security guard. And I was looking up his name real quick, because he's being called a hero out there, too. An unarmed security guard come up there, distracted this guy long enough to be able to get him away from the window. He got shot in the leg, and he still assisted... when the cops got up there and the SWAT teams got up there, he still assisted them, told them what was going on, told them where the shooting was, helped evacuating other people off of that floor before they basically blew the door in.
And how many lives did he save by distracting this guy for whatever amount of time?
I'll bet you at least another 100 to 150 people.
To you,
at least.
To whoever this man is, and we will find out his name.
Exactly.
Kudos to you, my friend. Kudos to you.
Exactly.
You are a true American hero.
Yes. You know, and I wanna end this my thoughts here on Vegas with one thing. Yes, I lived in Las Vegas for 5.5 years. I did not leave Vegas on good terms. To be brutally honest with you, I my feelings were as that place was nothing but a cesspool with a bunch of greedy people that all they were doing, you know, all they were into your pockets. Everybody was into your pocket. You had valet people that were into your pocket. Anybody that did any little thing, even as much as holding a door open for you, had their hand out looking for money. And that really annoyed the shit out of me. I gotta tell you something. the reports I saw of how Vegas residents pulled together cab drivers and yes, Uber drivers. I'll give the devil their due. They didn't wait for calls or anything like that. They popped up, and you heard multiple stories of cab drivers, and Uber drivers, and quite frankly, just other ordinary citizens.
Just citizens.
Getting to the hospital if need be. Total strangers coming together and acting as a community, and I tell you, it was one of the most one of the biggest tragedies since 9/11. And these people are acting like a community, and hats off to Las Vegas, man. I've come away from with a whole new perspective, a whole new sense of love, and a whole new sense of respect for Las Vegas and its citizens. And that's all I can really say. All I can really say about that.
Well said, my friend. Well said. I think maybe we leave it at that. I think obviously any decent American, any decent citizen of the planet, is feeling the pain of Las Vegas right now, and all of our mass shootings. I mean, just because this is the latest one, we can't forget Orlando, San Bernardino, Sandy Hook, et cetera, down the line. I mean, something has to give here, and our innocent American citizens are being killed in mass groups because we allow weapons that are designed for one thing and one thing only, and that's killing as many human beings as possible in the shortest amount of time. No one, no civilian needs a weapon like that. Hell, you can make the argument maybe the armies don't need them, but for God's sake, we don't need to be selling that. Right now, today, in Fort Lauderdale, we have one of our 5 annual gun shows going on. Now, you go inside, and there's minimal paperwork, but there is so much selling going on outside the venue and in hotel rooms of guns where there is no paperwork, no background check, nothing. And the city, this is on City of Fort Lauderdale property in the War Memorial Auditorium. And this happens 4 to 5 times a year. And it's just more guns on the street. More and more guns. And it's just a shame that more and more people will now suffer because you put weapons in the hands of people who really, really shouldn't have them. And have I ever relayed my one experience with a firearm? I don't know if I've told the story on the show.
No, I don't think you have.
All right, so some time ago, my buddy Harry comes to my apartment. He says, "Hey, come on, you got to help me with something." I was like, "What? What is it?" He says, "Just come on." So I get in his pickup truck and away we go. Next thing I know, we're downtown Fort Lauderdale, and he says, "I'm bringing you to the shooting range." Now, Harry was had a concealed weapons permit, was a gun aficionado, liked his weapons. He was very responsible with them. He knew I wanted no part of them. So I remembered what Mom had said. "How do you know you don't like it if you haven't tried it?" So I said, "Fair enough. I will go in under controlled circumstances, and I will give this a shot, if you will." Look at me. I made a pun. I made a pun about a gun. Listen to me. I'm on a roll. Anyway, so we get downstairs to the range. And so I put on the ear protection, the eye protection, and Harry had brought 2 of his weapons with him, a .357 Magnum and a .44 Magnum. So he handed me, I forget which order it was, but he handed me the first weapon. They're both cannons. I mean, all they need are the big wagon wheels on the side, and they're cannons. So he shows me how to fire it, how to hold it, all that good stuff. And I pull the trigger on the first shot. My God, what an experience. What a violent experience it was, even with the ear protection. Of course, we were in an enclosed area, so, and it was just a very violent, the gun recoiled, and which I was prepared for, but still, and it's just loud, and oh my God, I couldn't imagine being in a gunfight. So we spent about an hour at the range, and I fired both weapons, and I even learned the proper terminology. And see, I'm saying weapons instead of guns, mm-hmm. and firearms. At the end of it, my friend Harry was very, very upset with me. He was upset with me till the day he died. Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because it turned out not only was I a pretty good shot, I was better than him.
Oh, Jesus.
There was the irony of it. Mm. It turns out I haven't picked up a weapon since, but I started popping them. Not bullseye center, but you know, close enough. Once I got into a rhythm. Mm. So don't mess with me, man. Don't mess with me. I need about two or three warm-up shots, and I'll put it right. Anyway.
No. So I don't think I could hit water if I fell out of a boat when it comes to shooting, to tell you the truth.
I didn't think. I thought I could fire at the ground and miss. I mean, who knew? Who knew? Oh.
I should ask you, though, how long do you think the kumbaya in Congress is going to last over this? There are.
What time is it?
Yeah. There are politicians on both sides of the aisle, obviously more the Democrats than the Republicans, but we're all over the spectrum as far as eliminating assault rifles and what have you. But they all seem to be in lockstep when it comes to eliminating this bump stock.
Right, which most of them are freely admitting they have no idea what it is.
Yes.
And neither do I, to be quite honest. Well, I've seen one diagram of it. I haven't really investigated it fully, but it seems excessive. Well, I think any assault weapon is excessive. You don't need that to go hunting after Bambi in the woods. And because
no.
I mean, but I understand. You want to be able to, you know, unload 200 rounds. Again, these deer can be tricky. You never know that they're not packing iron. I mean, let's face it.
Instead of actually having to have a little bit of talent and aiming and hitting your target,
yeah.
you can spray it like a can of Lysol and
now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
So you eliminate that deer. All right. Jesus. You know, I tell you.
Silly Rabbi, segues are for kids.
Exactly.
You're looking for a segue to get out of this.
No, not really. I don't need no stinking
segues. I don't need no stinking what was that? What was that movie? Sierra Madre?
Oh, it's, you know, I tell you, the
somebody
only
knows.
One where I...
Somebody knows.
Yeah,
hey, exactly.
By the way.
Go ahead.
Speaking of somebody.
Somebody.
Yes. if you care to get in on this conversation, I'm also going to open it to anybody who has seen something we've posted on either on Twitter, on Taxi Stand Hour on Twitter, or the group page. You know, if you've seen something interesting there you want to talk about, it's simple to get a hold of us, and it doesn't matter if you're in Florida or if you are in Timbuktu. If you have a Skype app, open it up and rock and roll. Let's hear from you here, folks. And what are you attempting to do right now?
And what do they look for on Skype, John?
Oh, they look for Radio TFI.
Radio TFI. Well, I think we're going to take a sharp right turn now, and that's right, kids. That's right, kids. It's time for Ed versus the Spread. Last week, I went 5-11. For the season, I'm 38-39. So I'll catch up. I'll make it right now. John,
to quote Porky Pig, "Ebbity, you suck."
Well, last week, let's see how John did last week. John, you were a pathetic 1-2. The only game you picked correctly was, unfortunately, the Saints beating up on my Dolphins. And we don't appreciate that. Not one iota. I won some and I lost some. I'm currently at 4-5. You're currently at 3-6. So I'm beating you up. We're both losing, but all right. So are you ready for your picks?
Yes.
All right.
The first one's not going to be my nose.
Your first one, Tennessee minus 3 points at the Dolphins. Tennessee favored by 3 at the Dolphins.
I think that's a safe bet.
Who? Say it.
We will take. If the Titans are favored by 3 points, I will take the Titans and the points.
I hate. You're not getting points. You're giving points.
I know.
All right. Green Bay getting 2.5 points at Dallas.
I hate to say this as much as I hate Dallas. I think that they're pretty impressive so far this year. So, and I hate the Packers even more, but I'm not a true Packer hater like some people up here in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
But I gotta take the Cowboys right in that one.
By the way, I heard Tony Romo doing a game for the first time. My God, he is good.
I heard people say he sucks.
No, he was great. All right, and finally for you, John, is those Los Angeles Chargers versus the New York Football Giants. The New York Football Giants are 3-point favorites, which is amazing considering they're 0-4.
No,
they're playing at MetLife Stadium in the Garden State of New Jersey.
Oh, that you got to go with the Giants on that.
Going with the Gents. Okay, so my picks for this week. I'm taking Jacksonville getting 8.5 points at Pittsburgh. Philadelphia, I'm giving 6.5 points to Arizona. And my lock it down, bet the ranch, put your lungs on the table, and tell your bookie you're betting everything you possibly own. Baltimore getting 3 points over the Oakland Raiders. The hated Raiders.
The Raiders. The soon-to-be Las Vegas.
The Vegas Raiders. By the way, the Las Vegas hockey team won their first game last night.
They did?
Yes.
Yeah, good for them.
All right, good and that completes Ed versus the spread, Ed versus the points for this week. And we'll see how well I did next week, and maybe we'll talk about John, too.
Oh, I gotta ask you something.
All right, hang on a second. I'm being a pest here.
What's that? What Go else ahead. Is new?
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, what else is? Oh, anyways, so I don't want to dwell on this because it's kind of old news. But did you have you seen anything as far as the NFL is concerned, as far as if they're in stadium? If their attendance is down in the stadiums. Personally, I don't think that this has affected them all that much, this whole taking a knee.
No.
I don't think so either. You know, I was looking at some of the stats. Obviously, Oakland, their attendance figures are down for one obvious reason.
They're leaving.
And who's going to invest time and money in a team that's going to just up and leave?
Exactly.
So, totally get that. So, what do you say we talk about the Trumpster for a short period of time?
Okay.
It was quite a week for the Trumpster here.
He went to Puerto Rico.
He went to Puerto Rico, and whenever Puerto Rico has its own NFL franchise, he is starting to warm up and audition to be able to start to be their quarterback, because he's getting really good at throwing paper towels.
He was fantastic. I was proud to be an American when I saw that. Let's take hurricane victims and make them fight over paper towels. The quicker picker-upper.
Yes, exactly.
So so you figure, what do we need? About 4 trillion rolls of paper towels to mop up Puerto Rico? Or as he says it, Puerto Rico. Did you hear him mispronounce it? Anyway.
Oh, I know. You know, I've just discovered probably the biggest thing I hate about Donald Trump, that he is such a narcissistic bastard. Oh, we did a marvelous job. We did a spectacular job here. Oh, people are giving us thumbs up for
A-plus.
The job we've done.
We're getting A-plus. And then he was complaining about how my people are not getting credit. I got news for you, Stinky. They're not your people. They're government employees. They're volunteers, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing a fantastic job. It's not about you getting credit. And again,
you know,
that's all he's about, is him getting credit. It's stroke that ego. And
I can already picture how President Obama would have handled this. He'd have went in there and said, yes, we've done a lot in Puerto Rico. There is a lot more to be done. He definitely wouldn't have made a quip like, you people are busting our budget or
right.
However. Yeah, however we're... What an insight! I'm sure it was an attempt at humor.
Yes, I'm going to be quite honest with you. Even I saw that. Okay,
yeah,
and that's even a joke I might have made. But I want to say, but given his past, but he doesn't care. So even what really was, I believe, a lighthearted attempt at humor to try to lighten the situation, it comes off so poorly based on his history.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so
you know, let's hope that Puerto Rico can pull it back together again. It's almost,
yes.
I hate to say it, but it's almost like God wiped the slate clean and they're going to have to start from brick one there.
Because we need chicas. We need more Latinas coming over.
I don't understand why they didn't make more of a effort to evacuate the island afterwards. Pull up a couple of big cruise ships or whatever else you have. Anybody that can't sustain themselves on that island needs to take a cruise back to the mainland and let people... Because right now what you're having is you're having two issues. You're having the issue of trying to rebuild the infrastructure, and you're also trying to sustain life for people, quite frankly, who are very hard to reach. Excuse me. And they should have just backed up a couple of big ships into the port as best they could, got those people on board, and got them the hell out of there.
But didn't you hear, John? It's in the water. It's in the ocean.
Well, yes.
It's an island. It's in the middle of a very big ocean.
Yes. Indeed.
And it's a shame. It's a crying shame that the United States, we really should look at getting a fleet of ships that we can use at our disposal to defend us and help us in situations like that. I don't know. We can call it something.
The Navy.
The Navy. There's a great name. There's a great name. I mean, I could live with that name. I think that
Definitely.
Would be. I think that would be fine. It's a shame we don't have anything. Oh, wait a minute. We do. We do. The problem is we got a nitwit in the White House who hates anybody that's whiter. That's not as white as him.
Exactly.
And that's, there you go.
You know who was almost my hero this last week? Almost.
Besides me?
Well, you're probably down there at about 9th or 20th.
Wow.
There, somewhere in that.
Wow. That hurts.
The Secretary of State, Rex.
Rex,
Thompson.
Wow. That's...
any odds there on how long he's going to keep his job, even though...
What time is it?
We have the... We have the full confidence in Rex. Yes,
I heard a discussion about this yesterday on who was I listening to? Somebody on MSNBC, and they said, and they made a very salient point that this is not like the other cabinet positions. You can't just the Secretary of State is fourth in line of succession, so there has to be a little bit more involved here. He's already gone over to China in advance of the Asia trip coming up, and you just can't have, you know, somebody just temporarily fill the role, not to mention the fact that most of the State Department is understaffed anyway because nobody wants to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So General Kelly may just have to twist Trump by the nuts and say, you two don't have to, you know, get along, but you, goddammit, Tillerson's got to stay. We can't afford these kind of, you know, wholesale changes.
Twist them by the nuts, huh?
Yeah. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, Unfortunately, I don't know if there's a pair of tweezers that small.
Ooh, fifth grade burn. Ouch.
That's about the level.
That's where it was, and you know, you hit your peak, and you know, you go with what you know. That's what I say. No sound effects today. I just don't feel like dealing with the board. But there.
I hear you. So then we've got. Now he wants to scrap the Iran deal, the Iran nuclear deal. Is he? Look, it wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But do you think, especially with the way he's handling things right now, he's going to be able to make a better deal?
Who?
Everybody who? Is going to just look at him and say, fuck you.
Who put the deal in place?
Well, that was President Obama.
Everything that has his name attached to it, he just wants to eradicate.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been said, I won't take credit for it, if the Affordable Health Care Act was simply known as the Affordable Health,
affordable.
Trump wouldn't even know it exists.
Yes.
But since it had the name Obamacare, you know, that's his big thing. He can't have a black man outshine him. Despite the fact that, you know, Obama's popularity ratings are still sky high, and most likely always will be, just like Jimmy Carter, who turned 92 this week.
Oh, happy birthday, President
Carter. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a man that's still out swinging a hammer.
Yes. Absolutely.
He is.
What do you think about the line of the calm before the storm?
Oh, it alternate.
Surrounded by his military leaders.
It alternately scares the daylights out of me. It amuses me. Because it's an old TV tease.
Uh-huh.
You'll find out, you know. And infuriates me. And I'm like, come on, man. This is not The Apprentice. You're not. Yes. We're not waiting through a commercial break to find out what you're talking about. A real president doesn't even hint at these kind of things. Obviously, you can't. You don't want to. If something's going to happen, you don't want to spill the beans on it. But don't, because now you're going to, you say something like this, you know the press is going to be all over it, the media is going to be wondering, what does he mean?
Yes.
And,
because we are, this is the Taxi Stand Hour.
Yeah, it is.
On Radio TFI.
Radio TF something.
I do want to, yeah, TF that, exactly. Well, it could be Radio TFL.
Ooh, we hadn't considered that. Whatever you're going to do, you got about 6 minutes to do it, so.
Well, I'm going to take up about three of it. I got to play this clip because this is probably the most hilarious case of crocodile tears I have ever seen.
Oh, you want to, yes. I know who you're talking about.
This young lady, her name is Crystal.
Oh, that one, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, a young lady who was a former Uber driver out in Denver, and then Denver grew a pair and decided to go with background checks with Uber drivers, and look what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
All right, that's enough.
Now,
you wipe the tears out of your eyes there.
We don't have a lot of time, but I need to. First things first, okay? You got something playing in the background there, my friend. Here, let's remember what she doesn't mention about her crime. She held two people at gunpoint. Two people at gunpoint while her boyfriend robbed a bank or something. She held the gun on two people. So, boo-hoo-hoo, I paid for my crime. You held a gun on two people. Okay? The fact that the only reason she didn't go to jail is because she testified against the boyfriend. The cold metal feeling of steel on my wrist. I'm sure you've felt that since, but that's neither here nor there.
But probably not on the wrist.
Well, you know, you never know. Everybody's a little different. And yes. And she slips up by calling herself an Uber employee. Honey, ain't nobody working for Uber. Look, boo-hoo. She's adorable. She's cute. And she's also very much into herself. You go to her Facebook page or her Twitter, she's got some great photos of herself. She has that great look. But, I mean, she's a boo-hoo crybaby. Welcome to the real world, Toots. Hey, look.
I didn't see the Twitter
feed. Oh, you got to. Welcome to the real world where, you know, nobody cares about you or anything. Especially these app services. They don't care. But I can tell you, look, Lyft. Lyft deactivated me a couple of weeks ago. Why? Let me get it correct here. It was some vague term. I can't remember the exact word. Alleged terms of service violation. Alleged. And they still won't tell me why. I can't get a reason.
Oh, well, I mean, is that going to hurt? I mean, how bad is that going to hurt?
I'll tell you all about it off air, but...
Gotcha.
Look, that's the world we live in. And again, she pulled a gun... She held two people at gunpoint. I've done some
pretty shitty things in my life. I can honestly say I've never held two people at gunpoint. I can... Oh my goodness, is it already that time?
It is already that time.
Oh my god, this hour flew by.
It did.
Well, do you think we were wasting our breaths?
Oxygen? The waste of oxygen? I think we could have done better. I always think we could do better.
Oh, absolutely, you're right.
But, as they say on some other show... Next week we'll try to do better.
Of course.
We promise.
Well, I'll tell you what. With that all in mind, this is John Shannon. That is Ed Van Ness. We'll talk to you next week on the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
See ya!
Adios.